Hey guys, how are you doing? I thought I would just interrupt my regular scheduled program to really just send some encouragement and some peace your way. These we are living in uncertain times. It's like, oh my days, what on earth is going on? Who'd have thought that we would be living in a time like this, that we would even be alive to see such a global standstill, and so much trauma and heartache and grief and loss and uncertainty. There's a lack of reassurance from government because you can see like they don't even know what they're doing, and it's just so uncertain right now, and it can make you feel so unnerved. It's such an unnerving experience, and some of us are dealing with it okay because, you know, we're homebodies and we're fine and we've got our home comforts and we're cool, and some of us ain't. We're not coping as well as we would like to, you know, because we've got the kids and, you know, or we've got, you know, we're cooped up in the house with the partner or the husband, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. You know, or you've got that nagging parent or that nagging sibling that's just getting on at you, and you're sick and tired of seeing all their faces, and all you want to do is just go and sit in a restaurant, order a nice little meal, even if it's a little Mackie D's, and just have some form of normality. And it's hard. It is really hard. At first, you know, I was doing fine. I was cruising. But I think this weekend just gone, I just was like, no, I've had enough of this. I was just like, yeah, I'm over this now. Like, I'm actually over this. But, you know, I think us as Christians, those of us who are believers in Christ, I really do strongly sense this pull from God to draw us closer to Him and to really just be in His presence, because in His presence there's fullness of joy. In His presence there is stillness, there is peace, there is power, there is grace for us to face each day. And sometimes the last thing we want to do is pray. And I know the last couple of days I haven't really been on my A game where prayer is concerned, and whilst I'm not beating myself up, I do recognize the impact of that. I don't feel as strong. I don't feel as focused. I don't feel as peaceful, because it's like if I had an on and off button for my mind, I just want to turn it off. I just want to turn my mind off, even though you could be sitting down reading a book or watching a movie, and these are things that would normally just, you know, take my attention, you know, from whatever situation I'm facing. But even in the midst of doing those activities, it's like my mind is very much aware of the fact that I am on lockdown and I don't like it. So, yeah, I just wanted to just jump on here, interrupt my, you know, my episode. You know, my next episode, I will be talking about, you know, going back to the church player letter two. But for now, I just really wanted to send some hope and encouragement to you guys and just let you know that, do you know what, you are doing fantastic. Whether it is a case of you haven't jumped on a side hustle, you know, started a side hustle, or, you know, started writing that book that you were supposed to write from 10 years ago, or you haven't started your fitness regime or your healthy eating diet, it's okay to just be like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. I'm trying every minute and every hour of the day to adjust to the abnormalities of this temporary new normal. And it's okay. Like, I just want to say it's okay. I'm not going to be talking for long today because I just want to bless you guys with a poem. But I just wanted to really encourage you guys that you are doing absolutely fine, whether that means that you go out for a walk every day or whether you manage to go for your first walk for the first time in, you know, these 5 weeks that we've been on lockdown. It's hard And my prayer is for every single person that the peace of God just consumes you all right now, where you are, whatever you are doing, that his peace will really just be like a blanket and envelope you and hide you from the fears and the anxieties and the overwhelming uncertainty that's just out there in the atmosphere. I don't know about some of you guys, but for me, you know, when I'm going out and doing the shopping and stuff like that, it's just like it's in the air. Yeah, I know that the virus is like, you know, airborne, but it's, there's this also, there's this thick cloud of like uncertainty and fear and frustration and distress. And, you know, it's like I absorb that and I come in, and not only do I have to take off my clothes to wash them straight away and wash my hands and stuff, but it's like I need something to just wash and cleanse my soul, my heart, my mind of everything that I've just absorbed. And it's just like, oh, Lord, I need a break. I need a break from all of this. So I just wanted to jump on here and encourage you guys and say, do you know what? That God is a present help. He's a present help in times of trouble. And indeed, this is times of trouble that we're in. However, this is not something that has taken him by surprise. This is not something that, you know, he was caught off guard. He didn't, you know, he didn't wake up one day and think, oh my gosh, what on earth is going on in the world that I created? And I think what's so beautiful is that, you know, God has created this world, and there's things that people have gone through. When we look in the Bible, we look, when you read like the book of Exodus and you see about the, you read about the 10 plagues, this is nothing that has taken God by surprise. This is nothing that is too hard for him. He led the children of Israel through some real difficult, challenging, scary times through that time of the plague, those 10 plagues. And what is so beautiful is the fact that when you read the book of Exodus, is I believe it's up to about between chapters 4 to 12, you see like what you know, how God prepared Moses to lead the children of Israel and the preparation that he had to go through. And then when it actually came to the point where, you know, he was petitioning Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, you saw the grace of God and the covering of God. And what is so beautiful is that when you get to chapter 12 and you see the instruction from the Lord to put the blood of the lamb on the lintels and the doorposts, you see that they were covered. That when the destroyer came out, they were covered. When there were plagues, they were not troubled. When there was darkness and when the river Nile turned into blood, they were not troubled by it. They were not impacted by it. And I think there's a message in that, that the, as we are immersed in God, we will not be troubled by it to the point of destruction. And as much as there is destruction around us, and as much as there is uncertainty around us, and as much as we are experiencing loss, you know, I know of close friends of mine who have lost loved ones, and it's been so difficult just to see how quick and sudden it is. And, you know, just a few days ago, my uncle passed, and it's just been crazy. And it's just been mad to see the loss and how to kind of like grieve in an unconventional way, because it's like you're not being allowed to grieve in the way, or have closure in the way that you would like, because of this COVID-19. And even with that, it's a case of like, well, Lord, how do I navigate through this? You're saying that you're God, you're saying that you are, that you know all things, that you are omniscient, that you are ever present, that you, you know, you are the God who is and who was and who is to come. You are I am. And, you know, it's like sometimes I feel like you're not. And it's just like, wow, God, like what is going on? But even in the midst of, you know, the story of the children of Israel, it looked peak for them. It looked like, God, you ain't who you said you was. And I think what is so beautiful is that God had to really prepare Moses to really bolster him and strengthen him and fortify his faith and his spirit, man, and his heart and his mind, so that when he came up against the opposition and these monstrosities and the trauma and the travesties and the you know, the moanings and the groanings of the children of Israel, who went, you know, whose faith was just fluctuant, like it fluctuated, he was able to reassure them and say, no, we're going to get through this. And I think that's what's keeping me during this time, that in this time, God has called us and he's beckoning us to him to fortify our strength, to fortify our faith, to fortify our minds and our spirit, man, with his word and with his power and with his reassuring promises that are yes and amen. So that we can actually get through this. And on the other side of this, we will be stronger. On the other side of this, though some of us may have suffered loss, though some of us may have even mentally might have even declined, the reassurance is that God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. The reassurance is that because we are hidden in him, he holds us in the palm of his hand. There is such a security and a safety. And I think in this time of uncertainty, what we really need to hold on to is the safety of Jesus Christ. The safety that no matter what happens and no matter what we go through, there is a safety that we have through being, by virtue of being connected to him, by being a joint heir with Christ, there is a safety. There is a safety. There is a peace that comes with that safety. You know, like when, you know, I remember when I was a little girl and was walking down Peckham High Street. Mum was doing her shopping on a Saturday, me and my brother. And I just got engrossed in these shoes that I saw in the shop. And I hadn't realised that my mum and brother had walked on. So when I looked around, I didn't see my mum and I was just like horrified. And in that moment, this dread flooded my whole entire body and I felt like I would never see my mum again. And I felt like, oh my gosh, like I'm lost. I don't even know how to get home. Like, what is, like, I was so petrified. And you know, this probably lasted, it felt like it lasted for about 20 minutes, but it probably only lasted for about five and then, or even less than that. And, you know, mum came back to get me and, you know, I'm crying like inconsolably, you know, all the snot is just dripping down my face. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, and then I see my mum come towards me and this reassurance and this comfort and this sense of security and safety just flooded my being and just overwhelmed me. And in that moment, all dread, like instantly just left my being. And I just reached out my arms to my mum and she held me. And, you know, she was like, why don't you just keep up, like, kind of thing. But it was just that, and it was this confidence that my mum had that, like, you're fine. She was like, you're fine, like, I've got you, like, you're cool, like, do you know what I mean? But in that moment, I felt like, moments prior to her coming back for me, I felt like, oh my gosh, like, I'm never going to see my mum again. Oh my gosh, I don't know how to get home. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be lost out of these streets in Peckham, like, oh my days. And, you know, it's like, God is just reminding me that, Selena, you know what, I've got you, I've got your loved ones, I've got you. Like, this too shall pass, and we hear it, but, you know, the same way that the children of Israel went through all of that, those 10 plagues, imagine 10 plagues, and it went on for ages, and God led them and guided them and held them in the palms of his hands throughout all of that, and they were able to get through and get over across to the other side. So, you know, I think when I think about that time when, you know, I felt, you know, when I felt like I'd been lost forever, I'm reminded of how I felt in that moment when my mum came to rescue me. It felt like I was being rescued. And God is reminding me that he is our Father, and he wants to rescue us in this time. That those of us who feel overwhelmed with dread and with grief and with despair and uncertainty, where those of us whose minds we just can't seem to turn off our minds, God is saying, I'm here. Like, allow me to just rescue you. I'm here. And the moment that we just sit in that, and I remember that day when on that Peckham High Street where I was just like there with my mum in her arms, and just her embrace alone, just, it's almost as though her embrace absorbed all of the uncertainty, the fear and the dread that I was feeling. And I just really sense like God is just beckoning us to come to him in this moment. Every day, like even if it's like 5 minutes of the day, and just sit in his arms. No, we can't see him, but he is present. He is so present. And the beauty about the fact that he is present with us at all times means that he enables us to feel his presence. His presence is so tangible. And at times it doesn't feel that way. And I believe that sometimes we don't feel his presence because we allow the overwhelming factors of our situations to override and govern our minds and our emotions. And so what happens is that they kind of acts as a blocker to God being able to really engulf us with his presence and overshadow us with his peace and with his love. So I just really wanted to encourage you guys today, just to really, you know, encourage you to stand still, to be still. Psalms 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And one thing that this lockdown has taught me is that I've found it hella difficult to be still. Like, I'm on my phone so much more. Like, I'm like just sitting down, like just sometimes looking into space, and it's just like, I don't know how to be still. And I think when you are someone who, you know, who works and has got like a busy social life and good network of friends and family and stuff like that, you can get caught up in the fact that, do you know what? That's my scaffolding. That's my support system. That is my lifestyle. And that's been my lifestyle for the best part of my adulthood. And so for someone who's in their late 30s, who has become accustomed to living a certain lifestyle and life being structured in a certain way, for that structure to be completely dismantled, it's like, oh my gosh, do I even really know what it feels like to be still? Like, what does it mean to be still? What does it mean to, and I'm not just talking about, you know, having that lavender bath with the candles, with the neo soul playing in the background. That's part of it. But what does it mean to shut off your mind and really allow the Spirit of God to penetrate every orifice of your being? And I think that, you know, talking to other people and me also just reflecting, I think that's one thing that we find difficult, the being still part. We know that he's God. We know that, you know, he will get us through this. We know that he's a very present help in a time of trouble. We know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that we have eternal life and this perpetual flow of his Spirit residing on the inside of us. But do we know how to be still? And for me, I just want to encourage you guys to journey with me on discovering what it means and what it looks like to be still. What does it look like to really just meditate on God's word? You know, when the Bible talks about in Psalms, when David is talking about how he will meditate on God's word day and night, what does that look like? What does it look like to take a portion of scripture? I'm not talking about reading the Bible back to front, but a portion of scripture that really resonates with you and speaks to your soul to your situation, to your insecurities, to your fears, to your anxieties, to your anguish, to your pain, and really meditating on that, reading it line by line, sentence by sentence, and absorbing that like a sponge. What does that look like? And for me, I've started to really do that, and I've noticed a difference. I think I kind of went off track, as it were. I think obviously hearing, you know, about my uncle's passing and stuff. But I think for me, one thing that I really took from that, when I started to try and apply that, I found that as I read each line, and I would just read it over again and just be like, Lord, like, you know, help me to really grasp this on a physical level and open the eyes of my understanding to really absorb this and understand that, you know, I am a kingdom citizen. So as much as I'm in this world, I'm not of this world. So that means that there are benefits and resources from heaven that I have direct access to that will enable me and empower me to function and navigate through this time. And so at the moment, what I've, you know, that's really what I've been focusing on in terms of just taking a portion of scripture and just saying, Lord, help me to allow your word to become real to me. Because that's the thing, like, we need a real God for a real life. And, you know, God is a real God. He is, and we are living real life. So, you know, if he's, you know, the Bible says that he's placed his word above his name. So that means that there is a power, a sovereignty, a majesty in God's word. There is so much heavenly resources and equipment and tools that we can get from his word that will enable us to navigate through every type of situation that life confronts us with. And I just really wanted to share, I guess for me, one of my coping mechanisms through this time, and it's really been praying and having real conversations with my real God about how I'm feeling, the frustrations. I'm just like, I'm out here and I'm just like, Lord, I be frustrated, you know, like that. Yeah, just really bringing it back to the word. And I don't want to sound churchy or over spiritual, but, you know, there, I know for all of us, when I speak to a lot of my friends who are believers, we all have that favorite scripture. That favorite scripture for each type of situation that we face or emotion that we feel. And for me, I've had to really go back to those favorite scriptures and just really rest in them, read them over and over again, and allow them to, and, you know, allow myself to really soak up the word. Because I think it's one thing to just read the word because, you know, you're reading the word and, oh, this is a good habit to, you know, to develop. But it's another thing to really apply the word. And, you know, the book of James talks about, you know, it's one thing to be a hearer of the word, but another to be a doer. And in this time, when we look in the Bible, we see that people went through so many tragedies. They went through highs and lows. They went through trauma. They went through loss. They basically went through what all of us have experienced, like, you know, during this time, or have experienced even prior to this. And they held on somehow, some way. And a lot of the times you will see it was back, they went back to the word. Well, what does God say? What does, you know, what did God do? What did Jesus do? And you find that there is the way that the methods that they used to help them overcome and get through was always connected to the word of God. So I just want to encourage you guys, whatever your favorite scripture is, whatever scripture helps you get through difficult times, let that be a starting point for you to go back and to delve deeper into that word and really ask God to help you understand it on an even greater level during this time where there's so much pressure and so much frustration and there's just so much in the air right now and it's overwhelming. But one thing we need to be, I guess the one thing that we need is that in the midst of all the negative, overwhelming factors of this situation, let us allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by God's grace and the power of his presence and the power of his spirit and his love during this time, the power of his comforting arms, the oil of joy, the joy that enables us to get through those really tough days where it's just like, this is so depressing. But joy isn't happiness. Joy is, you can be in the midst of a very difficult situation and have that joy that enables you to be able to have a peace and a reassurance that everything's going to be okay. Whether it means things may not look the same, but everything is going to be okay. And with that, you're able to have joy. And joy doesn't necessarily mean, you know, laughing in the times of sadness or uncertainty or frustration. But the joy is a reassuring. It's like the scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, when we look at the joy of the Lord, again, what does that even look like? You know, the joy of the Lord is that he's overcome through his sacrifice. He's overcome death. He's overcome sin. He's overcome shame. He's overcome depression. He's overcome anxiety. He's overcome every kind of negative factor that comes with life. And that is why he is able to have joy and sing songs of joy and deliverance over us, as it says in Zephaniah chapter 3. So there's this joy that we can tap into in God, that though it does not look great, though things look bleak, or those things feel sad and uncertain, those things feel anxious and make me feel anxious and frustrated, there is a joy that we have inside of us. Because remember, if we are born again, God dwells within us. So there is a joy inside of us that we can tap into that will enable us to see things from a heavenly perspective, in knowing that God's got this, God's got me, God's got you, God's got us. Yeah? So that's all I wanted to say, guys. I was just sharing my heart. And I wanted to leave you with a poem. It's just something that I wrote, and I pray that you're blessed. I don't even know. I don't think it has. It doesn't even have a title. But if I was to give it a title, it would be Stillness in the Standstill. So I invite you to just close your eyes and journey with me as I bless you with some spoken word. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Because right now the world is spewing out fear, frustration, sadness, anger and deception. Nowhere safe, no one feels reassured. To protect us, we've been told to stay home, but our homes do not free us from the races in our minds like a day at Formula One. We absorb the uncertainty like cotton balls in fields bought by slave masters as our peace is swiftly chipped away by the compression of relentless information overload, intruding our minds by way of WhatsApp, the 6 o'clock news, and whatever edited version of the truth the government chooses to tell us. But in John 14:27, John recalls Jesus telling us not to be afraid. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. which means we have the gift of peace. The God who made the earth, the oceans and the seas, whose voice controls the tides, has given us peace. There is a heavenly current of peace flowing on the inside of us, and all we have to do is stay still long enough to allow it to overflow us, washing us with waves of reminders that God is still in control in the midst of the mess, the losses and the grief. The grief. While there is no quick fix for the trauma we have suffered or a magic pill to make us forget this monstrosity, deep down within us is God's serenity. I usually have encouraging words for the despaired and hopeless, but on this occasion, I'm empty. So I just listen. As the tears of my beloved at the end of the phone, as if by way of virtual magnetism, flow down their face through the invisible telephone cord to my heart, causing the wells of my eyes to fill as they release tears of shared anguish as their burden now becomes mine. We're all in this together. The rich, the needy, the poor, the greedy. For the first time ever, humanity has come to a halt, frantically looking for some solace to help them get through what seems like a day on the set of Groundhog Day, except we didn't audition for a part and the director isn't around to shout, cut! But in the midst of the lectures from the people who graduated overnight with the Bachelors of Science in Global Pandemics and the eerie 8 p.m. Thursday applause for NHS workers, God is speaking. His ocean of stillness is on the inside of you, remember? Remember, he said he gave you his peace. Like fierce ocean waves crashing against the rocks of the shore, God's peace collides with the anxiety that engulfs you, loosing its grip of your subconscious. If there's anything this lockdown has taught me, is that we can either be locked down with our thoughts or enveloped by God's serenity. As the news and the WhatsApp lectures change daily, one thing is constant, God's peace. His peace cuts through the noise like a samurai sword, effortlessly dividing a silk sheet as it falls through the air, allowing us to gather the sobriety we need to face each day. His peace reassures us that neither is he scared or caught off guard by what is going on. And whilst he's not the author of confusion, I do believe that this is the byproduct of someone's bright idea gone wrong and instead has become a travesty they cannot curtail. But God will use this to abase them and bring all mankind to a standstill, to acknowledge his sovereignty and bring his people back to himself. Peace. Perpetual, eternal antidote that calms extreme fears. When the fears scorch you like an August Egyptian sun, stand still and allow this standstill to be the opportune moment for his stillness to shower droplets of peace on your dry, cracked skin, penetrating the epidermis into your bloodstream, refreshing your body to beat to the rhythm of his reassuring, dulcet tones. Easy does it. Steady. Not erratic. And for those of us being swept away by the tides of anxiety and fear, God is saying, I've got you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give you my peace. Rest in me.